The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Welcome back. Second half of the show is on. A lot of conversation about Mike Bobo, and some are, I'm sure, just getting on board, maybe getting in your car, getting home, and wondering, what is all this about? Well, let us explain why this has suddenly become a big deal. Blake Topmeyer, one of the top columnists that covers the SEC for USA Today, wrote a piece under the headline. This is a Tuscaloosa News headline. You would think they might like it. Nick Saban may get college football thrown back after Kirby Smart hire. Obviously, Tommy Reese went to Alabama, not universally accepted, but it just seems like the Bobo hire by Kirby Smart to replace Todd Monken, who went to the NFL, has given some this hope that maybe Kirby Smart has finally made a mistake. Why the criticism of Bobo? He had been there under, he played at Georgia, of course, family in the high school coaching ranks for a lifetime. He was there under Mark Richt, had success, not the kind of success Kirby Smart is having. And then he went to Colorado State, failed as the head coach, went to South Carolina with Will Muschamp. They got fired. He went to Auburn, got fired, and here we are. That is the undercurrent of all of this. Let's check out Jason, who is up next. Hey, Jason, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, yeah, second time caller. About the whole Bobo and Georgia, I've been a longtime fan. I happen to live in Tuscaloosa now, which has been a great 2 years to live here as a Georgia fan. But I know where it comes from. It's, you know, run, first, second down with under Bobo back in the day. It was run on first, run on second, throw on third, and the offense would sputter. But if you look back, we had no receivers, and we were really a run-heavy offense at the time. So I think we all need to sit back. Is legend okay? I didn't catch yesterday's show after the Tennessee beat
Alabama. I was not here yesterday. I was out of town, and I have not heard whether – did legend call in, guys? Don't think he did.
All right. One more thing. With Oklahoma and Texas coming to the SEC, Alabama State wrestling championships going on, and I know Oklahoma, Texas, there's a Big 12. They have a wrestling. As far as the conference, or is SEC looking at putting wrestling in the docket, or will those teams
Jason, I have not heard that. I know there was a time when wrestling was one of the sports, but I have not heard any movement on that. And speaking of Texas, I happened to be in Texas yesterday, and the enthusiasm by Texas fans is pretty amazing. I was with some University of Texas people, some administrators yesterday. I was in Dallas. They happened to be there, and I was conversing with them. And there's a genuine excitement by folks in Austin about this move. We heard earlier this week that there's a little bit of reticence from Oklahoma. We had one of the state's top columnists on, and we had Barry Switzer on. So it's fascinating, especially to hear it here and then to be out in that state all day to hear the other side of it. Let's check out Jimmy, who is in Dallas. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. My question is this. If indeed the SEC goes to the 3-6-6, how would a champion be determined?
By the two highest-ranked teams.
Two highest-ranked teams. Okay. All right.
Well, so, like the Big 12 this year, most of the leagues have moved toward this. The SEC, I think did the ACC move that way this year or not? I can't remember. But most are getting away from East-West because it doesn't set you up well when it comes to the CFP.
Right. Seems a little strange to me because being as you know, sooner or later it's going to come down to where somebody hasn't played who they need to play.
I'm just trying to think. If the SEC had done it that way this year, would it have been Alabama and Georgia or Tennessee and Georgia? I'm trying to remember. Alabama was 5, so Alabama would have played for the SEC championship. And by the way, too bad they didn't. We would have then maybe some of these conversations would have gone away. Either Alabama would have beaten Georgia or had lost, and then we wouldn't be hearing any more about it. Hey, thank you very much, Jimmy. Appreciate your call. Let's check in with Bill, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Paul, I didn't get in on it, but someone was telling me that Legend made a comment about Kentucky basketball. Can you fill me in on that?
Yeah, this was Wednesday night. He was really excited about the game in Knoxville, he said this a couple of times, but I think his main reference to Kentucky was that Alabama is the new Kentucky.
Yeah, well, I got news for Legend and all the SEC schools. If you want to go back in the history and let's take a look at the wins and losses on all the SEC teams, they don't compare to Kentucky. Every now and then, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, they'll have a good team. But go from the history of it, Paul. Kentucky has dominated. They have dominated.
Well, yeah, by the way, I thought that was a really big win for Kentucky on Wednesday night. I mean, the season was on the line, and that they got a win against a good team. It's a quad one game, and they needed it, and they're still alive right now, which had they lost to Mississippi State, they wouldn't have been.
They've got Tennessee Saturday at home,
right.
Which that game could go either way. I don't know if Kentucky's going to get in the tournament or not, but they'll be a hard out. But we'll see how it goes. Do you see any of the SEC teams, Paul, getting to the Final Four?
Yes. I think, obviously Alabama is going to be a top seed. And after that, Tennessee is the hard, who was it that was here? Seth Greenberg a couple of weeks ago said he thought Tennessee was definitely a Final Four team. And I still think they are. They their two losses were, the loss to Kentucky was shocking. The other two losses recently were on 3-point plays. I mean, they just are inconsistent, but they're good enough to get there. I thought early on Arkansas was, but it's hard to, right now Arkansas is just trying to get in the tournament, and I also thought
Arkansas,
Auburn could have been, but I don't think there is another Final Four team.
Arkansas come to Kentucky and was very impressive.
But they're just not consistent, though.
No, they're not. That's the problem, and that's what you got to be when the tournament comes in. You got six games to win, so there you go. Thank you for taking
my
call.
Much. Yeah, and right now, just for fun, and that's all it is. These bracketologies are out. Tomorrow, the NCAA will actually come out with who they think are the top. I think was it 16 teams. How they would rank them at this moment. But one of the bracketologies has a play-in game in Dayton to 11 versus 11, and the 11, two 11s are Kentucky and North Carolina. That would be the all-time play-in game. Joe is in Arkansas. Joe, you're on the air. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing?
Joe, we are doing well. Thanks for the call.
Well, I was calling to kind of talk some smack about Legend, but if he's not doing well, I don't want to do that. I'm a big believer in karma.
Well, I have a feeling we will hear from Legend before the night's over, so go ahead. Take your best shot.
All right. I don't know if you remember on Wednesday, he put his locks out for the parlay on the basketball games. He got one out of three, which I guess isn't too bad, but yeah, he had Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky, and we all know what went down there.
Well, his Alabama pick was flawed. I think most Sharpies could have seen that game coming. It was a bad matchup for Alabama, but Kentucky I thought was the most interesting game. You're in Arkansas. Tell me what's going on with Eric Musselman's team. I'm really concerned about them.
You know, Paul, I just think it's a matter of them. He's got his, like, fifth or sixth different team of the year. He's got to figure out a way to get Nick Smith into the lineup. And, you know, I think they just need to get in. Once they get in, they'll be fine.
You're right. I think they can still get in. I mean, they have some great opportunities ahead. Hey, thanks for the call. Really interesting. We've had quite a show here on a Friday afternoon. We're a long way from being over. We hope you'll stick around. We are coming.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. We are here on a Friday, and let's check out Zach in North Carolina. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Paul, I was calling in regards that some comments Legend's been making about Georgia. It seems like all these Alabama fans think they're so entitled. And I know Georgia's won back-to-back national championships, but I just want Dog Nation to stay humble, and I don't want them to turn into what these Alabama fans are. And I want Legend to know that what Georgia has done to Alabama, they have done with a walk-on Stetson Bennett at 5'9", that he has done what he's done. So that's something for us to be proud of.
Well, no doubt. Hey, thank you very much for the call. How about Bill in Georgia? Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
I just wanted to call in about Mike Bobo. I've known his family for years. Matter of fact, I go back with the Bobo family all the way to South Georgia. I was principal of a high school there and gave George Bobo one of his first jobs as football coach, and knew Mike when he was very young, and I followed his career throughout his career. One of the things I feel like I need to say is that Mike Bobo is a man of extreme, a good character. He's just a fine person. I've been on the practice field with him at Georgia, watching him work with young men. And I don't think they could have made a better choice.
Bill, let me ask you, in terms of, so just for clarification, because I've heard it, I knew it, but I don't really know much about it. But since you were obviously involved, His dad. Tell us a little bit more about him as a high school coach, and was that something that was he the son of a coach, or did it start with him?
George Bobo, his father, was a coach at Miller County, where I was principal.
Okay.
He and Mike Hodges and a couple of other coaches came in and turned the program completely around. And what I saw there was the fact that they were not only willing to coach football, but they helped to make many, many improvements in the stadium at Miller County. As football coaches, they worked after hours. weekends to pour concrete bleachers and other things because the stadium was in bad disrepair. George was a fine person, fine coach, and it certainly has carried over to Mike. So that's a side of Mike that people might not be aware of. Excellent family, excellent character, and I think an excellent coach.
Well, listen, Bill, thank you very much. It's always so helpful to hear someone who knows the people versus just has watched them on television, and you certainly have quite a connection, an important connection to the Bobo family. You be well. Thank you very much for sharing that with us here. AJ is up next in Pell City, Alabama.
With a new Kentucky, Paul! With a new Kentucky, Paul! What's up, my black cat brother?
AJ.
Legend. Yes, he called yesterday. He called, and he's lucky I didn't get my cheap shot in on him like he took on me, because he was number one for about as long as my last application of body deodorant. What, 24 hours maybe? They go to docs, we'll get beat like a drum after all that he's talking. We're the new Kentucky, Paul. We're the new Kentucky. I hope you are the new. See, if you're the new Kentucky now, you're going to be losing a lot more just like you did the other night. Legend. Ain't nothing but a crap talker. Can't do nothing but talk crap. Him and Jim talk more crap. Jim don't even. I'll tell you something about Jim. Jim, go to your room and close the door like my mama used to tell me when I wasn't behaving. And another guy. Charlie Brown, the clown of all clowns that you have to hit the button on him because nobody can even understand him, and he thinks he's the whiz kid of stats and analysis on sports. And that is Matt from, sounds like he's down in Norway, Australia or somewhere to be. But, I mean, come on. And next time you miss work, Paul, you better send us an excuse. We don't like it when you ain't there. We love you, War Eagle.
AJ got the whole, all the way through the call. Oh, man. Rocket is up next. Hey, Rocket, you are on the air. Hello, Rocket.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I've been listening to you for your whole career. While I was waiting, I was thinking about, I remember when Herb Winches pitched a fit, and I guess when you got started or when your show or that station hired you, and he went berserk. You remember that?
Well, I'll try to forget it. because I mean, he and I have remained close friends, and it was a tough day for him. And I was somewhat thrown in the middle of all that, but, It has been quite a long career. I appreciate you reminding me.
Yeah, so you're friends with her, but that's encouraging. Well, good. I'm
yeah,
glad.
Yeah, no, I had not seen him. I mean, that was just one of those things that, you know, talent, whether it's radio on that level or here, you're always at the mercy of the people that are in the big offices. But yeah, I've seen him recently and talked to him, and he's doing really great.
Good. Yeah, and actually, I've got two questions we're going to call. So, first, I saw in the article the ACC, they're talking about the revenue distribution. They may be changing it. And I've never understood in the SEC why, like, a Vanderbilt gets the same cut as an Alabama or a Georgia when they're really, you know, not responsible for an equal share of the revenue. Do you think that with Texas and Oklahoma coming in, they're going to be moving toward splitting, you know, or doing it differently with as far as revenue distribution?
No, Rocket. I've been to enough SEC meetings and have heard this speech given by the commissioners and by people involved that the SEC looks at. I don't want you to laugh because this is how they look at it, but they really do look at it as a family that has been together a long time. And while things may change, and while one school may be better. They look at Vanderbilt the same way they look at everyone else, that they're an equal partner and they deserve an equal share. So certainly you could quibble, but that's how the founders of the SEC birthed the league, and that's how the people that are involved still look at it. It's a big mistake in the minds of the college administrators to start proportioning a share based on your worth. This is not Wall Street. While it's a big business, there's so much money to go around that it would do more harm than good. And I know there's been some talk about that in the ACC. I don't think they'll do it, because if a school is going to leave over that, then they ought to leave anyway.
Well, and yeah, the second part, well, I was thinking if they did go to where some of the lesser schools didn't get a bigger cut. I mean, why is the Big 12 not courting Missouri and Arkansas to come back, you know, to the Big 12? Because, I mean, face it, they'll probably never, you know, get to the championship in the SEC.
Here's the reason. There's so much prestige attached to the SEC, whether you win or lose. There's also so much more money involved. I'm sure Missouri is probably going to be worth more than double annually when all these new contracts kick in, or maybe more than that, than what they would be able to get from the Big 12. And it means a lot to the university to be part of a league like the SEC. I know some people think we're just saying that because this show is televised on the SEC network. We're not just saying it, it's true. The Big 12 has survived. But you're talking about what the SEC currently has with Texas, Oklahoma, or will have Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia. Just go down the list, LSU versus who's in the Big 12. You have Houston, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU. I mean, these are Iowa State. I mean, I'm not being critical, but they don't compare to the SEC.
Well, and that's what I was thinking really would be a major reason, because they could go back to the Big 12 and they would be the guys on top.
But
have a lot better chance.
But I mean, they got to. Yeah, here's the funny part. Not funny, but all these schools ultimately bailed out of the Big 12 primarily for one reason: to get away from Texas. Now they're back.
Yeah, in Texas. Texas is coming here now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of mistakes were made. The biggest mistake, I think, and ESPN, by the way, was a partner in this. When Texas started the Big 12, the Longhorn Network, they made a lot of money off of it, but they managed to tick off everyone else in the Big 12, and a number of schools bailed out. Nebraska was probably the first to go. And then Colorado may have already gone before that, and then all these other things started to happen. So the Longhorn Network is going away. It's going to be merged into what we're doing here. But it put Texas as not an equal partner in the Big 12, a gigantic revenue source that really upset everyone. That's part of the reason Texas A&M left. I think Texas saw what A&M accomplished being in the SEC. We'll take a break. We have 90 minutes to go. We hope you'll stick around. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back Friday afternoon, late. There's a rodent sighting. Squirrel is on.
Hey, the only way you'd find me if you're in southeast Missouri right now. I'm headed up, me and Miss Squirrel headed up towards the St. Louis area. You ever spend much time up there?
Yes. Growing up, I spent a lot of time in St. Louis. I was a big Cardinals fan.
Hey, who wasn't? And I was there 3 years, matter of fact, with my company. And shared season tickets with some guys in the office and back in the Ozzie Smith days. And I really love my Cardinals, too.
But, I always thought St. Louis was a nice place.
It is. It's got great restaurants. The Hill, you go down to the Hill, and it's got some culture. And it's a little dangerous right now, I would say. But I won't go off on that track.
You're talking to somebody from a place that nobody wants to live right now.
Well, I'm not worried for myself. I'm just worried for others. But interesting show this week. The Barry Switzer interview was interesting. And I can honestly say my entire life, and I'm almost your age, that I've never been a Barry Switzer fan. And I wasn't after the interview. And then Larry from Missouri called in and shared his story with us.
That was great.
And told how Barry Switzer, Barry Switzer sent him a check and helped his benefit there. And so I'm now officially a Barry Switzer fan.
I never knew Barry very well, but, I mean, you have to admire the guy. I mean, he has the I don't give a blank attitude about everything.
Who did he succeed at Dallas? Was it Landry?
No. He replaced Jimmy Johnson.
Okay.
Jimmy had won two Super Bowls, and Jerry Jones fired him.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just wasn't a Switzer fan back then. I wasn't a Switzer fan when he was at Oklahoma, and but I am now. That's all that matters. And the leg humpers, the ones with the alphabet for their names. I mean, all their calls suck this week. You know, AJs and ACs and the KKs and all that. If you got an alphabet for your name, I mean, their calls are just like root canals. I don't know if you've had a root canal.
But, unfortunately, I have.
They're very painful. But AJ's call was short and sweet today. By the time your jaw got numb, he hung up, which was great. So that wasn't too bad a call. And what are your thoughts on the new show's power couple? I-Man and Jim.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
People always talk about being the new Jim, but Jim has gotten very unpredictable.
Well, you remember 6 months ago, remember I came in with, after it all blew up, remember I was trying to play Henry Kissinger. I had some secret Paris peace talks going between the two, and Jim had extended, first I-Man extended the olive branch, and then Jim extended the olive branch, and they were about to hug it out, and then I-Man walked up and just kicked the sandcastle down, with one of his calls, and piss Jim off, and then I claim zero credit for them two uniting this time. I had nothing to do with it, and I guess they're the new power couple. And opposites attract. You got a young athletic guy, and then you got the old hippie drummer. One of them likes Iron Butterfly, the other likes Edie Gourmet. I saw it coming.
Steve and Edie, who would have expected them to make an appearance on the show tonight?
I promise you Jim likes Edie, and because I've heard him say he does. So anyway, it warms my heart, and great show today. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you. Steve and Edie have never appeared on this show before. Vance is up next. Hey, Vance, good afternoon.
Same to you, Paul. I'm really, I think, unfortunately, I'm getting ready to give an equal sign or a plus sign to this one caller by even bringing him up. But AJ, who is really an asshat, is about as entertaining as a prostate exam. I don't know why he thinks she's so funny.
By the way, prostate exams are, it really depends on who's giving it to you.
Well, as long as it's not Michael Jordan. I shopped for the first doctor that did me. But anyway, it's a hideous topic, and I should not even. This man, he deserved to be blunted from the first call he made. I mean, he's not entertaining. He might be to you and to other people, but I doubt it. I don't think many people appreciate that. Obviously, it's easy for him to imitate Legend, but he's not Legend. But I wanted to ask you a trivia question right off the top of your head. In the last 40 years, if you watch all of college football, you're just a fan, you know, who would you say was the winningest program in 40 years right off the top of your head?
I'm struggling because there are a couple of candidates from Miami.
Oh, this is painful for me to say,
to
Paul,
Alabama.
Because it might cause an eruption of callers that we don't want to hear.
Okay, let's have it.
It's Ohio State.
Mm. They were my third pick, and I was going to stop it too.
Well, you know.
That's sad, by the way.
One day, I was talking to a buddy of mine, my college football friend. He's a gigantic Alabama fan. And I said, you know who's been the most consistent team in the country? Is because I don't ever remember Ohio State having a terrible football season. I just can't remember it.
The time I remember them really struggling, though, and it wasn't bad, but they had John Cooper, who just never could seem to beat Michigan. And, I mean, they were perennial 9-3.
They could not win a bowl game either.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was a bad run, but yeah, they've been extremely successful. You're absolutely right.
And like I said, I'm sorry to bring this attention to the show because of who it might ignite to start calling.
Yeah, no, we have been, it's amazing since New Year's Eve, we have been chock free of blowhard Buckeyes.
Oh, but you see, this is how kind God can be, Paul. Every so-and-so, every time, now then he'll give you a reprieve from things because he promises not to put more upon you than you can bear.
You're right, and that's a great point.
Well, I've enjoyed speaking with you, and I'm sorry to lower myself to bitch about another caller that I should be totally apathetic towards, but I just couldn't help myself. And then that clown will call back up and say something smart-ass, and I'm like, you know what? Nobody cares about you.
Vance, thank you. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. We're still heading toward the end of the third hour here. More phone calls and more guests on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back here as we continue on a Friday. Let's check in with Billy up next. Hey, Billy.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just want to call and tell you I've probably called you for 20 years. And I finally got through, and I am so glad to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to tell you. The way you handle yourself, your knowledge, with talking with so many people that you're really above my level of thinking, you really do a great job. You really excellent. You really are.
Well, Billy, that means a great deal to all of us here. So thank you for saying that, and I'm really glad that you were able to get in.
Listen, it's been a while.
Well.
It's been a long time. And we work at, or used to work, I'm retired now. I worked at Tiffin Motor House.
Oh, Tiffin, sure, and up you, in Red
Bank. I know you familiar with the Tiffin name.
They are. It's hard to live in that northwest corner of the state and not know who they are.
The Van Tiffin Field Gold, whatever.
I still think that's. I mean, I know the Kick Six has supplanted that, but for the early days of my career, I've never seen anything like the Van Tiffin Field Goal in '85.
I think me and you pretty close about the same age. I don't know that. I'll be 66 in November.
We're in the same time zone.
I figured we was. But I just want to call and tell you how much I like. Yeah, I watch your program every day. I try to. I don't every day, but I try to.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I like the way you handle yourself. And just want to take.
Well, Billy, listen. I appreciate the call very much, and you take care of yourself. And I hope we talk again very soon. Thank you for saying that. How about Steve in Kentucky is up next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I meant to call earlier this week, but I didn't get to. We've been talking about the first two black quarterbacks playing the Super Bowl.
Right.
But yet we forget a lot of the great black quarterbacks. In my opinion, the greatest that ever played was one they called Jefferson Street, Joe Gilliam, from Nashville.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, he beat out Terry Bradshaw to be the starter of Pittsburgh.
That's right. He sure did.
Terry Hanratty was also the number two draft pick that year, I believe. And if Joe Gilliam had been white, he would have been the quarterback that won 5 or 6 championships for Pittsburgh because, he was better than Bradshaw. He was better than Moon, who didn't get an opportunity. Better than Tommy Holloway, who could play in this day and time in the NFL. Better than Vic. He had an arm like a cannon or a Hauser. He definitely was smarter than Bradshaw because I believe even you are smarter than Bradshaw. But the guy never got the chance, even though he won the job. And he drifted into oblivion, I guess. But
hey, by the way, I vaguely remember, wasn't his dad a coach, too?
Assistant coach at Tennessee State.
Right, okay. I do remember that now.
And the head coach there was a guy named Big John Merritt.
Oh, yeah, sure. I met John Merritt back in the day.
The only thing bigger than John Merritt was his cigar.
That's great. No, I covered some of those swag games over the years. I got to know the coaches at Grambling and Coach Robinson, obviously, at Southern and Mississippi Valley and a couple of Jackson State and a couple other places. It was there were some legendary coaches from that era.
Hey, I'm just an East Tennessee hillbilly, but I used to catch Marich's show every Sunday on TV. We only got three channels, and two of those were snow, of course. But great coach. Robinson was a great coach. They had great players. People like Too Tall Jones. But I know that Joe Gilliam is going to be forgotten. And he was just, I used to love to watch him play.
You know, I do remember that controversy, though, now, because I mean, at one point in that era, it was. I think Terry won a few more Super Bowls, but he was demoted, and Gilliam never could move ahead of him. And then ultimately, I think they brought in Cliff Stout in Pittsburgh, who may have succeeded. But Bradshaw, yeah, I mean Bradshaw was going to get the benefit of the doubt. He won four Super Bowls, and he's still living off of them. Based on what I saw, Sunday night at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they went in at the same. I think they went in the same year.
Terry came out of Louisiana Tech around the turn of the decade, maybe somewhere in that range. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Really, really interesting to reflect back. We'll talk about the beginning of the college baseball season.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.